All right. Welcome to the second hour of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. This is our 10th annual community evaluation of Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration. What was good? What was not so good? What can be improved upon? And views expressed are not necessarily those of the radio station or the folks that own it, but they are the views of all of you at 239-1310. Just on this particular day, I need to remind you all of that, or certain people of that. And earlier in our 1 p.m. hour, I told about some good things of this year's expo. So if you missed those, I'm not going to repeat it for the interest of time. Just go to our website later this evening and listen to the replay at praiseindy.com. See, that'll get y'all to start listening in the 1 p.m. hour. But I do want everybody to know that we need to lift up and honor the people that did the hardest work at this year's expo. Under sometimes difficult, trying, and exasperating circumstances, those are the expo volunteers. They are expo's lifeblood. They're the DNA that has made this event survive this long. We need to honor those volunteers, salute those volunteers. And so any shortcomings that are pointed out in this broadcast in no way disses the sterling heroic service given this past weekend by Expo's volunteers. Let's go back to the phones. And Valentina, hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
It's Valentina.
Valentina, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't have any complaints. I think they did a wonderful job. The only complaint that I really have is in the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
The WTLC booth was too loud. We could not hear the young kids hear the kids perform.
Okay.
Their parts, like the steppers and the rest of the young kids that was performing, we could not hear them. They were so loud.
Well, you know, I can understand that. From our point of view, we did not know at the radio station on our FM side that they were going to put that stage over in the kids' area that close to us. So if they're going to keep the kids area in Hall B and C, they need to flip the stage and put the stage on that opposite end of that hall.
Because it was ridiculous. I mean, we could not hear them, and that was not good. You know, kids' voices are not that loud anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stuff. And that's the only complaint I have. Other than that, everything was wonderful.
No, and I appreciate that constructive criticism, and I will pass that on to our folks here at the radio station. I won't say that. I will say when I noticed where that other stage was.
Yeah.
I could see where that was. The other thing is the speakers on the radio station stage were pointed in the opposite direction. So the speakers were pointing away. So the speaker, because if you looked over to where the WTLC FM was, you noticed that black drape, that was the back end.
It still was just so loud.
Well, the problem is in an exhibit hall, sound bounces around.
Right.
So sound.
But, you know, the other stage where those famous people were speaking to some lady, I can't remember her name, they were wonderful because they were like off that and it was cool.
Wait,
put the young kids somewhere else or move WTLC or tell them to turn it down some or something.
All right, where was that stage where the famous people were?
Like when you first come in, not on the health side, but the other side and stuff, there was a lady there that was speaking and stuff.
Oh, wait, that's our AM booth. That was the AM 1310 booth?
But y'all was cool.
Oh, we were cool.
Yeah, y'all was cool over there. It was just the WTLC side. WTLC FM.
Let me ask you this, and we could always, you know, tone our speakers down a little bit. But by that same token, do they need to look at the PA? Because at this, because if you were telling us that we were a little too loud for the performers on the kids stage, what happens when the PA went with so and so? We're going to give away discounts in booth 123. Did that disturb?
No, it wasn't that. That wasn't even that. That wasn't the pop. It was the WTLC.
I got it. All right. I have made a big star next to Valentina's name, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Back to the phones. And William. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine, sir.
When the entertainment sections and a lot of the parts of the Black Expo at Washington Park.
Yeah.
We used to go with my family.
Yeah.
We used to go with my family, my sisters and my nephews and my nieces will all be there.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger, you know, after the when the danger came and we became involved in the activities, we actually stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been about 8 years ago. I think I've been there twice. I think that if the people feel that they have a relative degree of safety,
mm-hmm.
and with a venue that large, there's no way that you can guarantee safety to the individual people because of the nature of society today.
Right.
And if we could just find a way to convince the young people that is not the place, not a time for them to be acting out
mm-hmm.
their aggressions or their frustrations and leave their guns at home mm-hmm. and just come to enjoy themselves, I think that would be a first step in increase having the crowd to return to the different venues.
All right, that's a good point. Not only leave the guns at home, if you're under 18, you're not supposed to have a gun anyway.
Yes, exactly.
All right, great, great point, my brother. Great point. I appreciate it.
One more thing.
Yeah,
one
real
more
quick.
Thing.
Uh-huh.
One more thing.
Yeah.
I was looking at all of the celebrities, you being the greatest one there, and I was looking at Dr. Jeffrey Johnson and the other minister at the rally
mm-hmm.
that took place
yes.
Saturday. And I got to applaud and commend all of the people that were there for being so cool to maintain a high degree of cool at that place.
Not only at the Trayvon rally, being cool, being respectful, but when the rain came, did nobody leave till it was over?
Yes.
I'm still drying out from that, but didn't nobody leave?
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, good point. All right, good point, William. Let me go to Shanita at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I have my concern is not about the Black Expo. I uh-huh. have a question I would like for you to direct me
uh-huh.
with. The police keep showing up at my door for somebody that's not on my lease. Neither do they receive mail at my address.
Mm-hmm.
They done been here 4 times. They done searched my place. They keep coming here. They don't have a warrant. I need for you to direct me. I need to go to somebody because they can't keep just showing up at my place.
Who are they?
Somebody that's not even on my lease.
Who are they? Is it the same person they're looking for?
Yes, and it is a relative of mine.
It is a relative.
He never lived here. He just was over here visiting with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend then gave them my address.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason they would be coming in without a warrant is he must be wanted for something.
Right. He's not on my lease. He don't live here. He never lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how can they keep coming for somebody that's not on my lease.
Because they don't believe you're telling them the truth.
Exactly.
Let me do a couple of things for you. You have a church home.
I'm sorry?
Do you have a church home?
Yes, I do.
You might first talk to your pastor to see whether there is a attorney that's a member of your church.
Okay.
And that the attorney could talk to the police. Or, depending the church and the relationship between your pastor or the pastors and your denomination's alliance, like if it's Baptist, there's the Baptist Ministers Alliance, there's other alliances, the pastor could get a hold of the police and say, wait a minute, I got a member who you're looking for one of the relatives. The relatives have never been here. Can y'all back up?
Okay.
But I think it's going to take that or an attorney on your behalf to talk to the police and say, now look. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay. And you also have the right to know what he's wanted for. Did you
they
ask him?
They wouldn't tell me that. The last time I went to church, they told me that they would not be back again. So I let him know he was not here.
No, if they keep coming back, you have the right to know what they're searching for.
Okay.
You know, what does he want? Is he wanted?
Okay.
Seem to me if you come in two or three times to look for somebody, they're wanted.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Let me go to Bill at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah. Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I don't know how cost efficient it is, but it was pretty good with the yellow cab pickups. They had yellow cabs everywhere picking up people if you wanted to at your front door.
Uh-huh.
To the center and back to your front door.
For the health fair thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that worked like a charm because the crowd they had on that opening night for the health fair was off the hook.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a great effort.
Okay. I always have thought that you needed to fast. It would be best if you fasted before you have those tests with the blood draw.
Yeah.
And is that true?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
I was hungry, and I went to the opening ceremony, and they had that finger food at the back. Seems like they would have said, well, go and get your one stick and then come back for these goodies back here.
Mm.
But anyway, here a suggestion I have.
Okay.
I'm going to throw this out there. It may or may not register, but the concert in the park.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be from 6 to 10 or 6 to 11. They played CDs, I think, for quite a long time before actually entertainers came on.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me, now everything was quiet this year. No shots, no deaths,
right.
no violence. But if there's a possible way for all the events to end at 8 or 8:30 and it's still light, and if that were so, it seems like there would be less chance of violence because the young people would be under the daylight and it wouldn't be the cover of dark. They stretched out the concert in the park. They played CDs and then they had an intermission in between long before the OJs came on.
Right.
So that could have came on and ended earlier and the crowd could have got out of there. One thing negative.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, we saved about 10 people's cars from being towed on the parking lot north of the library, immediately north of the library. They were towing cars two and three at a time. And people kept coming. We kept telling them, look, don't park here. That apartment building back there, they will tow your car. And we say, especially out-of-town people didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But something needs to be, they had a little bitty sign that you could easily overlook. And I mean, they towed a lot of cars from that lot.
And that made a point. The out-of-town people, because when law enforcement was on here and I was making the thing is don't park in a lot that you're not familiar with or it looks like is going to be shaky, or definitely don't park in a lot just because you don't see anybody asking you for money. That right there is the telltale sign.
Right.
And if somebody wants to be dumb enough to park in an unattended lot and think they're getting over, yeah, they're going to get over with a $170 tow bill.
Well, that's what we contacted the deputy sheriff. I contacted people with the green stuff on with walkie-talkies and requested they make an announcement. And my wife said, well, they announced it one little time that probably didn't anybody hear. And one of the guys with the walkie-talkie, I explained to him what was going on, and he said, well, that's on them if they park there. I said, well, could you still make
the announcement?
Right.
That's a good point. The other thing, Bill, the events at the convention center, inside the convention center, and even the basketball game, the celebrity basketball game, and the Pulse little mini concert, that was literally designed to end at 9, and it ended at 9.
Okay.
So they really, for events inside the convention center, they were ending at 9, and 9 was still kind of daylight outside. So they were trying to do that. I think the free concert has always been designed for adults. But I think they moved up that ending times. I think it ended, like 10:30, 11 o'clock?
Right.
That's
right.
Early. That's a little, you know, because there have been years it's gone to like midnight and stuff.
Right.
So I think there was an effort to end some things early, particularly the free concert, summer celebration on Saturday. I don't know what time the Jill Scott got out. But that's a little different because that's in the field house and that's all day. But excellent suggestions, my brother. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is back to Afternoons with Avis. Back to the phones and Greg. Then we'll take a break. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, you asked the question, what could we do to or the Black Expo, what could they do to, you know, get us back?
Yes.
Back?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, really, regretfully, I don't believe that the Expo can recreate the glory days of what it once was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 41 years old. My parents took me every single year to the Expo. Then I got older as a teenager, and, I mean, that was like the thing to do. Everybody went to the Expo. There was so much to do. I mean, you had StarQuest. You had the boxing, which made me a little excited this year. And just so much to do. You had stars in the, you know, going up and down the halls with the police security. You might see this person and that person.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't do everything that was there. And it was, you know, vast amounts of people, vast amounts of booths, you know, with vendors, and I mean, it was just so electrifying and amazing. And I'd gone even myself and taken my kids, you know, as they were kids, and you know, they're 15, 13, and 10 now. But I'd taken them, you know, and they liked it. It was pretty good. And then it fell off, and it fell off. And then we hadn't went for 3 years, and we went last year. And I was so disappointed. I said, I'd never go again. I mean, it was just so disappointing because we were spoiled coming up with the Black Expo. And somehow it didn't translate into our kids, you know, those of us who have kids in their teens and 20s or whatever. Somehow they missed the boat, and I don't know that you can catch that back up. You know, how do you draw me back? It has to be somewhat like it used to be, and it's nowhere near that.
That is a great analysis. That is deep. And is deep, and it hits a lot of chords, and I think that and that's one way we phrased the question that way last year, and phrased the question again this year, that many listening did not go. Remember the glory days. I'm looking at, online at the Indianapolis Star. I met a young lady who's a summer intern for the Indianapolis Star. They call Pulliam Fellows. They're reporters. She's going to be a senior at Howard University in Washington. And she's written a very eloquent reflection on her seeing Indiana Black Expo for the first time. I don't know that I'll have time to share a little bit of it. It's on it's online right now at the Star's website, IndyStar.com. It's probably not – I don't know whether they're going to put it in the printed newspaper or not. But it is it really is an interesting reflection. She was very bright. And I can tell she's going to be a great journalist, and she needs to be at the New York Times or TV One or something. By the her writing is fantastic. But anyway, you made some great points. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. Spike Lee in about 10 to 12 minutes, our exclusive interview with him. It's Afternoons with Amos. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the serious issues of elder care and how do we take care of our seniors. It is part of the AARP Caregiver Connect event that's going to be at the Marriott East tomorrow. It's free from 10 till 3. And you can RSVP by calling toll-free 1-877-926-8300, 1-877-926-8300. It's Afternoons with Amos for a Monday. Back to the phones and Brenda. Hi there.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
This was my first time down in about 15 years.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed myself. I'm the one in the wheelchair with the black hat.
Yes, yes.
Well, the only thing that I wanted to say was when I came in, I came straight on in. I saw the line where I guess people were doing registration. You had to register in order to go to the health fair?
No, you had to register if you wanted to do the screenings. You know, where they,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to do any screenings. I just wanted a shopping bag. And I'm telling you, they had me all the way up until they said, "You got a white piece of paper?" And I said, "No, I don't." And they said, "Well, you got to go." I said, "Oh, no, not me. I can't go back out there and get in that line." And so I went on around. Now, I enjoyed the health fair.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of literature. Everybody was kind and courteous, but we didn't have anything to eat in there. Even the machines weren't hooked up to work.
I know the folks
and I said they should have told us we should have ate outside before we came in.
I know the people at the at Visit Indy, which is our convention and visitors association. They are listening.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to get ready to tell them.
All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to say is, I go to conventions all the time.
Yes.
Now, our convention is coming the first week in August, and we'll be downtown. And I hope it's not at the hotel you're talking about.
I'm not going to mention one.
The one right across the street, the big one, way up in the air, because I have always carried enough money because whenever there's a convention, prices are high.
I tell you what, most of our
people here in the city have never been out into another town or something where they're having a convention, and they haven't experienced the prices. And you can go out to a restaurant, not inside the hotel or inside the convention center. Prices are high. You have to be able to afford it.
Absolutely. And I tell you what I'm going to do, Brenda. I'm going to put you on hold, and Chris will tell you off the air the name of the hotel, okay?
All right.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is... Oh, and the folks that are listening at the Indiana Convention and Visitors Association, Visit Indy. It would seem to me that on the free preview night of Indiana Black Expo's Black and Minority Health Fair, you could at least get the convention center snack bar to open up for 3 or 4 hours. Y'all could do that. If that was a convention, y'all would... Enough said. Back to the phones. And Kim, hi there.
Hi, Mr. Amos. I was just calling to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yesterday, it was several of us that came down for the early morning Sunday worship service, and we weren't told that it was canceled. So we came in and we spoke to some of the IBE representatives, and they were nice enough to let us come in and just sit and wait until the exhibits open, because we weren't told or we didn't hear any information regarding that service was not going to happen yesterday morning. What happened to that?
To be honest about it, we don't know what happened because of the cancellation. We were told literally about 10 days to 2 weeks ago that there would not be a worship service.
Okay.
I don't believe Indiana Black Expo put out a press release to the media to that effect.
Right.
They did say that they were going to do the gospel explosion that they did have yesterday at 3 o'clock. I don't know what happened, because in the souvenir book that had the expo schedule, the worship service was there, and the information that expo had provided us more than a month and a half ago, it was there. When the folks from expo were on this program back on June, what was that date that they were here? On June the 17th. And we walked through the entire schedule. They said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have the worship service." So I don't know what happened. I really have nothing to say. And I do know there were a number of people that came expecting that service.
Yes.
I mean, and maybe in retrospect, if Expo wasn't going to do the full service, get a minister and maybe a couple of lay people, they could have had devotion.
Yes, that would have been great.
Could have had devotion in the hallway.
That's right.
Amen. All right, Kim, appreciate it. Let me go to Jocelyn at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos.
How you doing?
Fine. I'm calling in defense of Tanya. I was there the whole 7 days.
Yes.
And Tanya Bell spoke at everything except, I think, the media reception, because she had a conflict in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But she was at the fashion show yesterday afternoon prior to going to the gospel service.
Okay.
And her daughter was in the fashion show.
All right.
In the 500 ballroom. But I just wanted to respond to the that also. Yes, the attendance was down, but prior to that, when I was circulating throughout the community, the negative publicity that we received from Reverend Harrison and the 10-Point Coalition, I had people telling me they wasn't coming this year because they were afraid they'd be shot at. I said, I've been at all 43 expos, and I've never been shot at. My purse has never been snatched. I've never been attacked on the street, and I tell you, I used to close down that hall.
Right.
walking down the street with our young people. I did talk to police Saturday night when I came out of the hall. Mm-hmm. They were saying Pinpoint really didn't need to be down there because, you know, if anything happened, they would be in charge of it.
Yeah.
There was oversight of security, but I think the security, the maximum security was because of what happened in Boston at the marathon.
Yeah.
And with this Trayvon Martin incident and the anger that white and black have expressed over that decision,
I think that had
a lot to do to keep the skinheads and the Klansmen at home.
That is, you know, that is a good point. And people, I had some people that were out on the streets Saturday night, and they expressed concern why all of this. And, you know, if this had been 6 or 7 years ago, I probably would have said, yeah, maybe it's a little overkill. But after Boston, the tensions that fortunately did not exist here at the Trayvon rally on Saturday, if you were the public safety director, you know, would you make that decision to do less and then all heck breaks loose? That's a difficult decision to make.
How do we know when I came Saturday morning, they were out there spraying the sidewalk, and I thought I saw something on the sidewalk at the corner of Capitol of Maryland that said, "Die young people." I don't know if somebody went through and, you know, did some little signs, because they sprayed at 8:30 in the morning. They were out there with a power sprays cleaning off all the bricks around the box office. So I don't know if there had been some threats and they didn't want to publicize it from the other folks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You see what I'm saying? I don't think they would have publicized that. And I think that had a lot to do with the high visibility, because the police drove in circles. And, you know, I saw you leaving, and I told you I was down there watching. I didn't leave till 10:30. You could have shot a cannon down Capitol Street and not hit anybody at 10:30.
And that was the fewest people that I saw downtown on Expo Saturday. And, you know, Jocelyn, every year people would always criticize, why are these parents letting their kids come downtown unescorted? Well, maybe all those quote-unquote irresponsible parents got responsible this year.
Well, most of the young people, as I told the police, are leaving there. The parents that were at the Jill Scott concert and the white party, their kids, after, you know, the youth function shut down at 9 o'clock,
right. They're
staying in the hotels from out of town. So they have nowhere to go other than the hotel room until the parents come back. They just sit out there and watch the crowd like I was doing.
All right. Good points, my sister. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310's After News. The name is Spike Lee, legendary director. Outspoken, not just about basketball, but outspoken on life, from his movie, starting with She's Gotta Have It, all the way up. He's got a brand new movie coming out, which is going to be a little different than what you normally expect from Spike Lee. He rarely gives interviews. When I say rarely gives interviews, rarely gives one-on-one interviews. We were honored and privileged to sit down with him. And when you talk to Spike Lee, he thinks before he speaks. So you're going to hear some pauses as I ask a question, and Spike thinks before he answers. He's a very, on one level, difficult person to interview, but fascinating person to interview. And there's a little bit of jazz, not music, but in how he answered. Our exclusive interview with Brother Spike Lee.
He is one of the greatest filmmakers, not only of his generation, but of all generations in the last 30 or 40 years, the legendary Spike Lee. First of all, Brother Lee, congratulations on being honored by Indiana Black Expo.
Well, I don't get many honors in this state, so. So I'm glad I do get one.
I'm not going to ask any sports question. I'm going to leave that to everybody else. I was on the internet this morning, saw the trailer for the new movie that you're doing, Old Boys.
It's done.
I know it's the trailer of it, and it got me excited. And this is something where you're taking after a legendary film by a great, was it a South Korean director?
Korean. Mm-hmm. Chan-Yung Park, and the film was called Old Boys, starring Josh Brolin and Samuel Jackson. It comes out October 25th, but I do not call it a remake. I call it a reinterpretation, and I say that the same way. If you saw The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews, singing My Favorite Things. When John Coltrane played it, it's a whole different thing. Miles, someone singing My Funny Valentine. Miles Davis sang it. Mm-hmm. It's a different one. Ethel Merman singing Star Spangled Banner, but when Jimi Hendrix played it,
that's a whole other thing.
Whole different thing. So it's a whole different thing.
How do you choose projects now? I mean, you have the ability as a filmmaker to do what you wish to. We always had that ability.
That's not true.
Okay.
I mean, it used to be true, but the climate has changed in Hollywood studio filmmaking. So, I mean, I was trying to make Jackie Robinson for years, you know, and someone else did it. Yeah. But just got to keep rolling.
Is there, with all of the controversy behind Trayvon and Zimmerman and what have you, is there a Spike Lee movie there?
I don't know. I mean, it's I still feel, you know, we're all going to feel that pain for the Martin family. And nothing we do is going to bring Trayvon back. And they got to do something about that stand your ground law in Florida. Because I forgot the woman's name, but there's a African-American woman.
Yeah.
What's her name?
I can't remember her name either.
Anybody know her name?
Marissa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Marissa Alexander.
Marissa Alexander, excuse me. Same law.
Same law.
Same law, same state, same white woman prosecutor of Florida. It works in Zimmerman's case. He kills Trayvon. She shoots her gun up into the ceiling, and she gets 20 years. WTF.
That too. I know.
She shot the gun into the ceiling. She has three kids.
Yeah.
It's been documented. Her husband was abusive. She had reason to fear for her life, but she didn't shoot him. She shot the gun into the ceiling, and she gets 20 years.
Sound like a Spike Lee movie. Can movies today still change people's attitudes?
They can. It depends what message you're trying to, you know, it depends what you're trying to do. Film is a very important medium, same like music. You know, you could educate people in music, elevate them, or you could bring them down. And a lot of music today, which my older brothers could attest to.
Money.
Nah. I'm just talking about because they come out of a great tradition of the Philly sound. Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff, you know, there are lyrics there. There's content. There's meaning. It's thought-provoking.
Yeah, well.
You know, and now we're hearing some other stuff, which is good. We're in the club, but, you know, we get out the club. What's it doing for you? So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I always felt that you could tell where we are as black people by the music we listen to. I mean, you could make an absolute study to see where we are as a people directly correlates to the music that we're producing.
The last time, my last question, the last time you were here, Brother Spike Lee, you spoke at Butler University, part of the Celebration of Diversity Lecture Series a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now Butler gets to go into the Garden and play some of those great college basketball teams now that they're in the Big East.
Their coach is gone now. He went to the Celtics.
Well, that's so that'll allow your Knicks to beat the Celtics several more times.
Well, I thought you said we weren't talking about sports.
Well, you brought up the coach. I was just
But
He's one of the legends in this world. Ooh. You. I'm talking about you.
Oh, but the... I mean, the Big East is not really the Big East now. The Big East I'm talking about was Syracuse, Georgetown, UConn, St. John's, Villanova. That was the Big East. Patrick Ewing, Dikembe, Allen Iverson, Alonzo Mourning, Carmelo Anthony, Pearl Washington, I mean, Ray Allen. That's the Big East I grew up with.
And I love how you...
Whoa. Mark Jackson. Walter Berry. Chris Mullen.
All we need is the OJs to do some background rhythm, and we got a new song here.
Ed Pinckney with Villanova.
You got a litany here. He is a legend. He is a legend. He is one of the honorees at this year's 43rd Indiana Black Expo corporate luncheon, the one and only Spike Lee. It's an honor and a privilege to finally have the privilege of meeting you.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I tell you, it was a joy. Anyway, 239-13. Let me go to Michelle right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Michelle.
I didn't get to go to any of the expo stuff. I love going. Been going ever since it started about 40 years ago or so. But the thing of it is, it was just too hot Saturday. That's just all there is to it. I'm not going to sit out there fanning all hot air. But the concert, what about, why doesn't Black Expo take a poll? They're always picking who they want to bring for us. And I know that's a money thing. Or whatever, just like you got all people that go. Why not have one jazz, one blues, and then R&B? Or, like I said, take a poll and see who we want to see.
You know, that is a very good question. And part of it is the dollars, because obviously the acts that everybody wants to see cost an arm and a leg and...
But I'm sure... Houdini wasn't an arm or a leg, and Houdini
ain't no, that's not an arm and a leg. Anyway.
But it's still, we love the free concert. We love it, and I'm glad there wasn't any problems. And a lot of people didn't go because they were scared. Everybody that I talked to, they didn't want to be running for their lives. I said, well, thank God I sit near the police. It didn't bother me.
All right. Good point, my sister. Good point. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with our remaining moments. It's Afternoons with Amos on the day after Expo. Let me go back to the phones quickly. And G, you got about a minute.
Hi, yes. I did not attend the Expo this year because of the past 2 years that I've gone. It's been really a disappointment. Like the gentleman said a couple of calls back, we were kind of spoiled back in the day. I can remember when we would get down to 16th and Capitol, you were stuck in traffic for literally 3 hours before you could even get up to the entrance of the convention center. But now it just seems like when you go, you can get out and turn cartwheels and do all of that, you know, right in front of the place. You can go inside. The vendors, they're down. The booth rent is very high. In this economy, a lot of people just don't have it. And I would just admonish the Black Expo to reach back and ask some of the former volunteers and some of the former presidents of the Black Expo what they did and glean from them, because the way that they're going right now, within the next 2 to 3 years, there may not be one.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Dave right quick. Dave, got about 30 seconds.
Yes, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
People don't realize what a blessing it is to have the Black Expo. They can stay at home if they want to, but for $5 and $10, you can't get a health screen. You can't get free entertainment. They better count the blessing. Thank you very much.
All right. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Georgia right quick. Georgia, got about 30 seconds.
All right, Brother Brown.
Yes.
I want to see B.B. King next year.
That's not a bad idea.
I want to see B.B. King.
That is not
year.
A bad idea. And I know B.B. King don't cost as much as Beyonce.
We got to give him his props, bro. We just lost Bobby Blue Bland.
That's a great suggestion for the luncheon honoree. If you honor the OJs, you can honor B.B. King. I like that. Tomorrow, we will be live from the Marriott East out on 21st Street. just east of Shadeland. AARP wants to make everybody know that how important it is to make sure you got a way to care for our elders, for our elderly, for our senior citizens. It's the AARP Caregiver Connect. The Caregiver Connect is all tomorrow at the Marriott East from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be live from 1 to 3. We'll have guests from AARP, Central Indiana Council on Aging, and others that can talk about this whole issue of elder care, how to prepare for it, how to deal with it. It'll be a special edition of Afternoons with Amos, and then a special edition on Thursday. We will walk you through the brand new expungement law here in Indiana. Everybody's had an interest in this. Be here with us tomorrow for elder care. Be with us Thursday for expungement. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1 from the Marriott East.